broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in Harvest Word Assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We ascend this holy mountain because we are going to seek His face there. Because that is the secret place that we are ascending to this morning. Ha!
We ascend this holy mountain.
We honor you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be the demonstration of your power and of the Spirit. Let the word come alive in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 again in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. What does it mean to dwell? Before I go on, let me extend Pastor's love to everyone. He misses home. He misses everyone. But he's having a great time. Blessing lives. Being a blessing to people. Hallelujah. What does it mean to dwell? To dwell means to be a resident. Can you bring it down a little? To dwell means to be a resident. I had to check up the definition of residency. So there are two. Residency has two main meanings. There's residency for doctors, and then there's residency when you dwell or you live in a particular place. And Google told me that a resident is someone who ordinarily resides in a country and whose center of economic interest lies in that location. So you live there. Your economic interest is you earn from there. You are part of the community development. You can vote. You can be voted for. You know, you have keen interest. You are a major stakeholder in any location you dwell in. Hallelujah. And you can also look at it from our own normal tax matters around here. In Nigeria, your tax is charged based on where you live in. So if you live in Ogun State and you work in Lagos State, you will actually pay your tax to Ogun State government. Because that is where you live. So it recognizes you as a resident, and so your payee goes to that location. Do you understand? So I'm from Ondo State, and unfortunately, well, it's not my fault. My tax has never gone to Ondo State. Except my prayers. My prayers go there. So that tells me that I can actually be an origin of a place and not be a resident of that place. If I am a resident in a place, there is a way I dwell so much there that after fulfilling certain conditions, I become an origin. I become a citizen. So if you go to the UK, there are certain conditions you have to fulfill over a period of time, and you are given the passport, you become a British citizen. So from residency, there are certain rules that you can fulfill, and you end up being a citizen known as Omonile, a citizen of that place. It doesn't then matter what your color is, what your best food is, you have become a citizen. But it is possible, if you are a citizen of a particular place, if you do not dwell there, yes, you will be recognized as a citizen, but you may not have one or two benefits of being a resident. So if you were born in America, for some people who go to have their children there, and your children don't live there, they come here, they suffer no light here, but there's light in their country. Do you understand? So that's the difference and relationship between being a resident and being a citizen of a place. So you are a resident, your economic interest. If they come to your street where you live and say they need you to contribute so that there can be more security, you will not send that money to your state of origin. You will spend that money in your location because you are a part of that community. You earn from that community. You feed in that community. If the water in that community goes bad, there is a risk attached to it for you. Praise the Lord. He that dwells. So it's okay to say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. You know, many of us, we have all of those things. You don't even need to, if they wake you up, the first thing he says, yeah, I'm born again. But where do you live? Yes, you've told us you are born again, yes. Do you dwell? He who dwells in the secret place, do you really dwell there? You are from there, we know. Acts chapter 10. There was the story of this man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, right? He was someone that even the disciples did not recognize, because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he wasn't a part of them. So for them, he wasn't recognized as part of them. But God said, this one has dwelt too long not to be recognized as part of them. If it means bringing Peter from wherever he was, stopping his schedule, stopping everything he was doing, leaving the other people. Pastor Kenny was talking about leaving the 99 to go after the one. That one that has dwelt will attract God's attention. So the angel told him, your fasting has been seen. You are prayed so much. You are devoted. You are this. You are that. You are God-fearing. God has stopped every other activity around the world in your favor today. And God said, Peter, get up. I know you will say he is unclean. But he has dwelt. You will say he is not one of us, but this one dwells. This one understands what it means to be a resident with the Lord. Hallelujah. So keep arguing about paying tithe or not paying tithe. But we know those who are dwelling. We know those whose economic interests are with the Father. We know those who are contributing every day to kingdom growth. The first service today was on evangelism, reaching out to souls. We know those who are bringing them. There's a record. This is not trying to threaten or scare anyone. But this is just a call to say, there are records. If you dwell, there is a recognition that comes with it. Hallelujah. As I was talking about Cornelius, you know, it occurred to me that Ananias and Sapphira were actually part of the first church. They were. In fact, Peter would have left Cornelius to attend to Ananias and Sapphira. But those ones didn't understand what it meant to dwell. They did not know what it meant to dwell. So there's a big difference. Because Cornelius understood what it was, what it meant to be a part of kingdom advancement, God recognized him and said, you know what? I confer on you citizenship today. He who dwells, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. If it is secret, then it is secret. It cannot be secret and be known to everybody. It doesn't matter if you get there and you see that Bramu Iwa dwells there, Sister Faith dwells there. It is still secret to you. He who dwells in the secret place. So if it is secret, then that means it is only known to you and the person who takes you there. Hallelujah. 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 The secret place is not public knowledge. It's not public knowledge. It's not the trend. It's not the norm. It's not what everybody is doing. So if you want to know where God is, it's actually not what everybody is doing at this time. It is a secret between God and you. He who dwells. So there is a God that will take you to that secret point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we are now, it helps us understand how that we have a minimal fraction of believers who are carriers of his presence. It has always been a secret place. It is a secret place. It will continue to be a secret place. It is not a wee thing. It is not what you do in church. It is not what you do when you see a fellow brother and you say, oh, bro, you know, there's a way you see a fervent brother. Can you bring it down a little? This is not Pastor Dinga. Maybe that's how he likes it. I'm the gentle part of Pastor Benga. People think I am, that he's more gentle. It's a lie. But it's okay. You know that, right? I don't trust your comments. So what was I saying? So it's not what you do. There's a way you see a fellow brother and you adjust. And then you see a Busayo outside and you're quick to say, oh, Sister Busayo, how are you doing? Oh, good to see you. And then you see another person and you say, hey, babe. You know, there's just a way you switch. So it's not how I portray myself to Sister Busayo that makes it look like I'm a carrier of his presence. If I don't have it, I don't have it. If I don't dwell in that secret place, I cannot be a carrier of that presence. So there's a way I portray myself and makes you feel, Pastor Omi probably has it all. And then you think, maybe when she gets to her house, she just does like this, and the food is made. I wish. If there's that kind of anointing, just get to the kitchen, touch the yam, hekatabo shakataya, and the yam is already made. And you touch the pepper, mandala palakata, and there's a good pot of stew. I wish. Honestly, I wish. If there was that kind of anointing, I would fast and do anything to get it. Because I will still live here now and go back home and face 3 children who want to just eat. And probably want to eat 3 different things. And I have to start preaching first to say, you must all live in unity and eat one type of food. So you see that we all have our struggles, but there is just this one thing that we have probably not given enough attention to. And that is still the dwelling in the secret place. So it is not what I do outwardly. It is what I do when I am with him in his secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under, shall, certain. It's not probability. It is you meet this condition, you become eligible. Shall do your part. He that dwells shall. There is no gainsaying up. There is no coming and going. It is certain. You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I tell you, there is no, your shadow cannot be detached from you. So if I am under your shadow, then I am close to you. There is a difference between being under my shadow and being beside my shadow. So you can actually be by the shadow, but not under the shadow. It may be just a step away. But that step away is what we find very difficult most of the time to commit ourselves to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that some seasons? Sharon, this thing is actually distracting me. A little lower. It's too loud. I didn't say turn it off. Is there no control? There is. Okay, praise the Lord. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be. Has it ever happened to you, or have you ever noticed a particular season where you stop praying for a while? You stop praying. You stop studying. You just got busy. You just got busy. Busy doing legit things, oh. Busy. And then you notice after some months, most of the time for Africans, what reminds us that we've not been praying are bad dreams. When you start eating in the dream, you say, yay! I've not been praying, oh. Or when somebody starts chasing you in the dream. Or when you suddenly receive a query in the office, then you will remember that, it's been a while. Now, have you ever noticed that most of the time, you now try to want to start again, but you find it difficult? So you set alarm, you do everything, you try to want to reinitiate that fellowship, and then it's kind of difficult to start again. It has only happened to me. That has happened to me several times. Then I now try, and I say, okay, the last time, what did I do? I fasted 5 days. Fast. Then you try, you say, okay, which song did I sing the last time that I was able to pray 1 hour? You go and look for that song. It's a lie. That song, you just listen to it. Is it not the same? Sometimes, you even go to YouTube, you won't see that song. If it is a case where the devil has meant you, say, you want mommy, ne? Hallelujah. So sometimes you try to get back in shape, but you find it a bit difficult. You try to get back to the secret place, but you miss your way. You try to locate the path. The last time God took me on this journey, did we turn to the right or to the left? But the Bible says that no man knows the mind of God except by his spirit. So that tells me that if I have to get into the secret place at any time, it must be the Holy Spirit holding me by my hand and taking me there. Because it is actually a secret place. That you have been there before does not mean you will be able to find your way by yourself. So is it not cheaper to just stay there? So you have lived there for 10 years and then all of a sudden, you know, pastors likely example of Chuka, Chidima and all those things, and you get distracted over a period of time and you just find a new friend who doesn't really seem to care, and before you know it, you drift off and then you want to try to come back. Remember that it is still a secret place. That you hurt there the last time does not mean you can just get up and find your way there. The Holy Spirit still has to hold you by your hands and take you there. So in that kind of situation, don't try to give yourself 10 rules to get back to the secret. No. There are no keys to get back to the secret place. It is just one key, and that's the Holy Spirit. And just tell him, Lord Jesus, just help me. Holy Spirit, just help me. Hold my hands and help me. Help me. Carry me upon the wings of your spirit. Carry me, Jesus, carry me. Carry me
upon the wings of your spirit.
Carry me,
carry me. Jesus, carry me.
Carry me upon the wings of your spirit. Carry me.
Jesus, carry me.
Never forget that it is a secret place. Never forget. Never forget. It shall abide under. So I was now asking myself, he that dwells will still abide. So are they two in one? So that means that when you dwell in the secret place, Then you will abide under the shadow. So you cannot abide under the shadow except you have dwelt in the secret place. So it's not possible for you to say, oh, I'm under his wings. God's got me covered. The Lord's my strength. And you just wake up every morning carelessly and you don't recognize that there is a longing that God has for you. Not just you, for him. Hallelujah. 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 If you look through the rest of Psalm chapter 91, every other promise there has its anchor in this verse 1. And I'm not sure there's any prayer request that is not inside Psalm 91. I'm not sure. So you see that it is actually very easy to be saved because protection is inside here. Provision is inside here. Favor is inside here. Everything you require is inside that secret place. Verse 2. Sean, I'm sorry that I said it was too high. Verse 2. Okay, that's not you. We are in together today. I will say of the Lord. So dwelling in the secret place also in a way gives you an established knowledge of who God is. I will say of the Lord. Because after I have dwelt, there is this confidence that comes with dwelling. The confidence that tells me of a truth, who God really is. Because I am not just dwelling there and whiling away time. I am actually dwelling there and learning of him. And that reminds me of two men. Two men who entered his presence. Let's talk about Moses. Exodus chapter 33. This is actually a very long read, but I hope you enjoy it. Exodus 33 from verse 7. Exodus 33 from verse 7. Hallelujah. 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 And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. That's outside the camp. Afar from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse 8. So everyone who needed to see the face of the Lord will go into that tabernacle, because it was known that that tabernacle, you know, housed the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his own tent door. Now look at this. Moses, so everyone who wanted to pray could go there. But the moment they saw that Moses had gone, every other person stayed back. We cannot contend with you. There's a way you and God talk and you intimidate us. So we stay back at our tent. Because he was known as a man of his presence. And looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Next verse. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. He had not said, Lord Jesus. Lord, I look up to you for this grace. He had not said a word. He had not said, Father, I am here. As Moses entered, as his presence was recognized, the cloudy pillar descended and sat at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle. We knew, we know it, that the moment you go, God will come. We don't want to see God because we will die. You have a way around it. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man his tent today. And I must tell you, this was the Old Testament. But do you know that this is still what happens now? We leave one man to go into the tabernacle, into his presence, to hear him for us. And then we stand in the congregation and we are saying, yes, Lord, speak to your servant for us. When God is saying, do you know what? I have broken the veil and I want you all to come into the tabernacle because I want to speak to you all face to face. But there is a to-do before you can command his presence. So it is not enough that God wants to speak to us face to face. God needs us to do what we are required to do for us to be able to come into his tabernacle. Verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Oh, I hope desire is rising in someone's heart this morning. The Lord spoke unto Moses face to face. Moses did not have the Holy Spirit. But the Lord spoke to him face to face. I have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in my within. I have the Spirit of the Lord living within me. I have everything it takes for the Lord to speak to me face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So somebody had the courage to actually go with him into the tabernacle. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. Okay, some of us are still here. We don't even know half of what you know. And here was Moses still saying, Lord, if I have found grace, show me your way, because I want to know you. That tells me that Moses had a well of hunger that could not be satisfied. Even God tried to satisfy him. Lord, I ask for that grace. I hunger for you. I thirst for you. My heart pants after you. My heart pants after you. My heart pants after you. Is this the reason Moses became what he became? Oh God. That I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Moses was a very hungry man. Very hungry for his presence. Number one condition, you must be hungry. You must desire it. It is not just an option. It is not... If I can't hear God concerning my marriage, I can always call Pastor Binga. You know, someone called Pastor, I think some months back, and he said, Pastor, so there's this lady I want to get engaged to, but I don't know what God is saying. So I would have expected him to say, this is what the Lord has said to me, but Pastor, I need a confirmation, or I just want you to agree with me. But this person actually said, I don't know what God is saying. So I sat back and I asked myself, well, wait, oh. I said, am I the one thinking about it? I said, but before I got engaged to you, I didn't ask anybody what God is saying. Did you? Is it not strange that these days we like the easy way? Let Brother Bimbo hear God for me. He is skilled in hearing God when it comes. I cannot stress myself. You think it is too much work. It is not. You only need to start with a hunger. Is this something you want? Have you ever had cravings for a particular food? You will get it, oh. No, it's not original craving if you didn't get it. I remember when I was pregnant with Joshua. It wasn't the season of tangerine, but I had this terrible craving for tangerine. My brother-in-law was with me in the house, and I said, Brayo, I need tangerine. He said, tangerine is not... I said, this one, we will get it, oh. I said, I must take tangerine today. So he said, okay. Oh, my brother-in-law is such a lovely man. He said, okay, let's go out. And I followed him. So as we were going, I was telling myself, we'll get tangerine. We were walking. And all of a sudden, I saw the peel of tangerine on the floor. I said, Brayo, see peel of tangerine. Whether car was coming or not coming, I didn't notice. I was just following the peel. I was following the peel until I got to a point and it stopped. You know, I should have thought of it. If you are peeling tangerine on the road, if you get to a point, you will finish peeling now. So probably the person who sucked that one finished peeling at that point and went his way. I don't know. So I got to a point where he stopped and I screamed. And my brother also. So one woman standing beside was like, yeah, Beji. I said, Mama, please, who drank? I said, please, you know the person who ate this tangerine. The woman looked at me and said, yeah, bitch. Bele, this is a market. It was that sawmill market. Say, is Ojare. I can't tell. I said, Mama, I must find this tangerine. I'm telling you. And I started shouting. I said, I must get this tangerine. So the woman said, okay, you know what? This is not the season, but it's already coming out little by. There's somebody there who sells tangerine. So I went all the way, and then my brother-in-law got tired of it and said, you know what? Let's go back home. I'll come back in the evening to come and look for it for you. And as I was going back home, I saw a woman with very unripe and very green. So I was so happy. I said, at last. And I bought everything in a tray. And I got home. I could not even finish one. It was so sour. It was so... But I tasted it. And after I tasted it, the craving left. So if you've had serious cravings, you will do it. Except it is not original craving. If you don't have money, that's when you'll be tempted to steal. I'm telling you. Adiola, you understand what I'm saying? Are you? I have not seen a situation where you are hungry for something and you don't go all out of your way to get it. It starts with your hunger. Genuine hunger. Forgetting that any other thing is an option. Now, I'm not saying if you need direction, you can't call your pastor. Of course, why not? You can. But do you even have the hunger to even hear God for yourself? What if you call your pastor and his line is not reachable? And you need to make a decision now. They just called you, say there's a contract. Tell us, do you want it, yes or no? You have to answer now on the phone. And you cannot even go into your spirit to search. And then you say, Tina is the one who normally falls under the anointing in church. I need to call Tina. But the person is waiting for an answer now. Verse 14. Tina, you know I love you now. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I give thee rest. And this was God saying, Moses, you have me, but no worries, I will go. Now, God had already said he wasn't going to go with them for this battle. But Moses, because he was a man of his presence, he was able to plead, and God said, okay, Moses, my presence will go with you. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if your presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. If you will not go with me, I will not go. I don't have an alternative. You are not an option. Do you even in any way let God know that he is not just an option? So Lou was singing a song now, and she says, if I don't have you, I will die. As an African, first you say, you reach like that. But it is true. Until we come to that consciousness where we know that we cannot live without him, then we have not started the race. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So one of the reasons Moses was keen on God's presence is because God's presence is a differentiator. God's presence is a differentiator. Oh, so you have tried so hard. You have toiled all night. What you just need is for you to carry his presence. Then tell me where you will go into and you will not be recognized. He goes so much that people could not look into the face of Moses anymore. Because Moses was a man who had consistently stayed in God's presence. Jump to verse 18. And Moses said, I beg you, show me your glory. Remember we had read earlier, and they said that the Lord spoke with Moses face to face. Moses, what are you still asking for? I can imagine God is saying, Moses, what? It's okay now. What else do you want? You know, if it was possible for God to share Moses' hunger to other people, he would probably have done that. Verse 21. So that was 19:20. That was where God said, I will show you my glory. I will not show you my face. I will show you my glory. You will not see my face and all of that. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place beside me. So all of the experience Moses had had before, and the Bible records that God spoke with him face to face as a friend speaketh to a friend. He wasn't even yet the experience of the secret place. So that you come to church and that you've been praying, you've been studying your Bible, don't get it mixed up. You might just be enjoying grace. Maybe you are not actually dwelling yet in the secret place. It's a good way to start, yeah? But Moses knew that there was much more in God. And then it was at this point, after Moses had said, I know you speak to me. I know I have dreams that come. I know I have revelations. Because sometimes we get satisfied with the very little. We taste a little of him and we get satisfied. You know, you are in the general congregation and you are satisfied with what he gives to the general world. But Moses knew, Baba, there is more to you speaking to me face to face. It goes beyond what everybody can see. There is much more. It was at this point that the Lord said, there is a place. There is a place by me. This was when God introduced Moses to the secret place. And you will stand upon a rock. Then I stood back. Everybody will still see him on a rock. What is secretive about this place? Verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put you in a cleft of the rock. So I checked up clefts. A cleft is a narrow opening in a rock. Most of the time, it can hardly even contain a human being. So God said, it is not on that rock that I will show you my face. There is a place I will take you to by myself. So you will come to the rock yourself. But it will come to pass, when my glory is passing, I will pick you and put you in a cleft. A cleft of the rock. So I said, that's the secret place. So Moses would not have identified that place by himself. That's why I said, it is not by power, it is not by might, but my spirit, says the Lord. So God, when he was going to show Moses, after he had introduced Moses to the secret place, said, there is a place. There is a place. Yet, I talk to you face to face. You have revelations. You are able to preach. You are able to minister to people. You talk, you sing, and people fall. But there is still much more in me. There is a place I will need to personally bring you into. And that was the cleft. And God took, and it was after that experience that people could not look at Moses again in the face. Because he had come into the secret place where he had carried the presence of God and he had become an established carrier of God's presence. So wherever he went to, people who could not look into God's face could not look into his face too. Because you look at Moses, it is God you are looking at. I am still on, and I will say of the Lord. The second man I want to talk about. Matthew chapter 17. And that's the story of Peter. I may not go into his own story in details like Moses. And this was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And after 6 months, 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 2. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. So this is something similar to what Moses encountered, because Jesus took them by himself, took the three of them, and right before them he was transfigured. His face did shine, and he saw Moses, and he saw Elias, and Peter began to, you know, preach. This is revelation, deep revelation. Matthew 26, from verse 36. Then Jesus cometh with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Next verse. And he took with him Peter and two sons, and began to be sorrowful and very. So he took them to a separate secret place. He told the other disciples, sit here, I want to go and pray. Then he took the three guys to another place. The next verse. Next verse. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even of the dead. Tarry ye here and watch with me. But lo and behold, my brothers slept off. Now I'm talking about the confidence that comes when you consistently dwell in his presence. So you have looked at the story of Moses. How that he never missed a moment. How that he kept engaging God. How that every opportunity he had, he expressed his hunger. For him, he was not just hungry for God and keeping it. He expressed his hunger at every opportunity. And looking at another man where he was always going with Jesus to that same secret place, and at a point, he felt tired. He actually dozed. He slept off. And then he was faced with a situation where, you know, because he had also been in this secret place, it was easy for the woman to recognize him. When Jesus was going to be crucified, and a maid said, "Ah, you look like him. We can see Jesus on you. I think you are a carrier of his presence. We can see the same glory upon him, upon you." But because Peter had not consistently stayed through, he lost his confidence. So he could not say, back to Psalm 91 and verse 2, he could not say. He says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." Because it is easy for people to see. People will easily see his presence on you after you have contracted it. But you, the carrier, do you actually know what you carry? Would you have tarried enough to be confident to say that I carry his presence? I know the Lord that I serve. The three boys said, "We know our God. If today he decides not to save us from your hands, then we'll perish." That's the difference between one who consistently dwells and one who just stumbles in and stumbles out. Have you ever seen people who have told you, you know what? You just tell them, "Shade, you look tired. My sister, I've been having 7 days vigil, 7 days fasting, 7 nights vigil for the past 7 days. It's not easy, you know." Nobody asks you a question. I only say you look tired. Now, those are the kind of Brother Peter. You just look at, and they're already telling you, but let a challenge come up. Let there be an issue. Then it is that day that we will know where your strength lies. It is that day that we will know what your 7 days fasting and 7 nights vigil has translated into. Is it just by saying, I prayed all night? You prayed all night. Oh, really? Let a cockroach just crawl on their legs. The number of times they will shout Jesus will amaze you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and he will gain confidence in the Father, such that he will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. I know who he is to me. I have stayed so long in his presence. I can tell what he can do. I can tell when he will come for me. I know him. I am not perturbed. This morning we raised a prayer for Pastor Taiwo. You think he's easy? You think he's actually going through? From the moment I heard that news, I think something just happened to me. I don't know what. It so affected me. I've never met Pastor Nomfi. I've never seen her. I just see her on social media once in a while. But I was broken. Challenges will come. Then we will see how you are able to stand and say, "I will say of the Lord." The only way, the only insurance is to be one who dwells in his presence. That's the only insurance. One who dwells in his presence. If you go further, go to verse 3. "Surely he shall deliver thee." So that means that you will actually come into the snare of the fowler. But there is deliverance. So there's a difference between a man who is in the snare of the fowler and has no help, has no confidence that help is coming from anywhere, and a man who comes in the snare of the fowler but knows I'm only passing through. He knows this is just a phase. He knows this is just but for a while. This also will pass because I have a God who will surely deliver me. I did not come in here alone. I carry his presence, so I came in here with him. I didn't come alone. I am not here alone. I am not standing alone. I have come with him, so he will take me out of here. Except this snare can consume God. Ah. So there is this confidence that even though you've read Psalm 91 every day of your life, there is a confidence that dwelling in his presence gives you. And wherever you find yourself, in whatever situation you find yourself, you are able to overcome. You must hunger for his presence. You must make it a priority. Moses was going to plead for the nation, but the first thing he said was, Lord, I want to know your way. Teach me. Help me. I want to see your glory. You must make it a priority. It might not be convenient, but it's fine. I can imagine how Moses stood in that cliff. You must make it a priority. You must tell yourself, this is what matters to me now. And it has to be. You must invest time. Invest time. Yes, you have a very busy schedule. You work from 8. You have to take your kids to school. You start your work at 8. You close at 7 p.m. You face traffic back home. You don't eat until 11 and all of that. There's still time out of no time. Give up something. Give up your Facebook time. The way the comedy skits even come these days. Ha! Before you check, a new one is there. By the time you now watch them, before you know, you don't even need to select another one. They'll say next. And they usually bring up your favorite comedians. Next is... before you know it, you have stayed 1 hour. 1 hour. And you're telling yourself you're tired. Invest time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Now let me just quickly say this. Now I've said you must be hungry, you must prioritize it, you must invest time. But I also know that you cannot do it just because you want to do it. It may be hard. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So you must be yielded to the Holy Spirit to take you to the secret place. You must be yielded to him, because you cannot achieve this by your own strength. You cannot achieve this by just being setting an alarm. You will set the alarm, it will work for 2 days. By the third day, you will get tired. By the third day, you will forget about your resolution. January 1st is coming. Some people are already piling up their resolution. Next year, I will serve God more. Resolution 1, serve God more. It is not by writing down resolutions. New Year resolution, it has become it. Some people, they just take the sheets that they use January 2021 and then replicate it again for January 2022. I will serve God more. I will pray 1 hour every day. It is not by setting standards. It is by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11. Quickly, and I'm rounding up. And you know when me, I say I'm rounding up, I'm actually rounding up. I'm not saying anything about anybody. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ up from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So you want to pray. Praying does not start from your body. It doesn't start from how strong or tired you are. It starts from your spirit. You want to study? It is not by whether you can see or you are tired. Let me rest a little. I've been in traffic. You don't pray with your body. Please understand what I'm trying to say. If that spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken you. It will work from inside out. It will give strength to that part of your body that needs to be revitalized for you to be able to pray. You want to seek his face? Don't look at your body anymore. Just look deep into your spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I just need to pray. I need to just fellowship with you. I tell you, that spirit that raised Christ from the dead inside of you, it will begin to quicken your mortal body. It will begin to put everything that needs to be in place for that fellowship to hold. Don't try to pray from outside in. Don't try to start from your body into your spirit. It doesn't work that way. You start from your spirit out. So in this matter, you have to be 100% dependent on the Holy Ghost. That's why I said, there are no keys, though. The number one key and the only key is dependence on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to be where you were, in your dwelling place. I don't want to worship from afar.